Good morning. Please turn your Bibles to John chapter 8. So we are going to read the topic, Jesus is the light of the world. So John chapter 8 from verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, Where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, Will he kill himself, since he says, Where I am going, you cannot come. He said to them, You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, Who are you? Jesus said to them, Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true. And I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is within me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. And as He saying these things, many believed in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering as your children in this place. And as we open the Bible, we read the passage together, Lord, I pray that you speak to each of us and you teach us about yourself and about our walk with you, and pray that your Holy Spirit will enable us to learn from you and also to walk with you and to be obedient to your word. And we pray that the voice of Jesus be heard. In his name we pray. Amen. So in the Gospel of John, there are several places where the light was mentioned again and again. So in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And in verse 9, "The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world." So that's in John chapter 1. And now in chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And also in John chapter 12, Jesus said, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." What is light? What does light stand for? And what does light symbolize? Well, everyone needs light to see the world. And we don't like darkness. We stumble in darkness. But light enables us to see the things clearly and also prevents us from stumbling. And everyone has some questions and confusions in his life. He needs clear answers and clarifications to his own questions and his own confusions. Well, some people may consider light as a symbol for insights and understanding of a complicated problem or situation. Some people may consider light as a metaphor for the truth. And that's why we use the phrase to shed light on something, on some issue, and meaning to find out the truth. Light may stand for hope. In this world, we heard that some people, some teenagers, got trapped in a cave for many, many days. And they cannot find a way out. So for them, light would simply indicate hope and life. So what is the nature of light? And what is the light from, let's say, a scientific point of view? Well, the earliest studies concerning light had to do with the vision. It's a relationship of light and vision. So the Greek period extending from 800 BC to 320 BC produced many earliest studies about light and vision. The theory of vision attempts to explain how objects with different shapes, different colors, can be perceived by our eyes. In 400 BC, Democritus attempted to explain the relation of light and vision. In his opinion, the air between the objects and the eye is pressed. So because of this pressed air contains the information of the object. And that's his opinion, 400 BC. And later, Plato and his followers proposed that human vision was initiated by our eyes. In other words, so light consists of rays emitted by our eyes. So light are generated by our eyes. That's what Plato and his followers believed in that time. And also Newton proposed so-called Coppens-Cayley theory of light. So in his theory, light is made of extremely small particles, whereas ordinary matters were made of larger particles. And in 1690s, Huygens suggests a wave picture for light. So just like the sound waves propagating in the air, and light waves propagating through the ether, so-called ether. So that's in 690. And then 130 years later, Friesel claimed that light is not like sound waves, it's not a longitudinal wave, but a transverse wave. And in 1865, Maxwell completed the classical picture of light as consisting of electric and magnetic waves. And in 1900, Lord Kelvin said, "There is nothing new. There is nothing new to be discovered. And all that remains is just more and more precise measurement." So that's his opinion, so there's nothing new. However, we know that the birth of quantum mechanics took place in 1925. This new theory had revolutionary consequences on the understanding of nature of light. So according to the quantum mechanics, every particle may be partly described in terms not only of particles, but also of waves. So light consists of massless photons. So photons which have zero mass. Photons which is a type of elementary particle. So the photons' wave and quantum qualities are two observables of a single phenomenon. And that's why Albert Einstein said, "We have two contradictory pictures of reality. Separately, neither of them fully explains the phenomena of light, but together they do." So this is a very brief history of light. And this history reminds us of difficulties in understanding of the nature of light, even of, you know, the physical light. And now we come to the Bible. So Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Well, first of all, we see that Jesus is talking about the relationship of between light and a vision. So light disperses darkness, and only light has the power to overcome darkness. And prophet Isaiah said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them." So light enables us to see clearly and understand correctly. Because light brings correct insights and understanding of the Word of God, the law, and also prophecies in the Bible concerning Messiah. Light also brings correct insights and understanding of the work of God, the hope and the redemption work of God through Christ. On the other hand, we see that Jesus is also talking about the relation between light and life. He said, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So what is the light of life? In John chapter 1, verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." In John chapter 5, verse 26, Jesus said, "For as the Father has life in himself, So he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. In verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. So here we see the Son of Man has life in himself, and he has the authority to give life, to impart life to whom he will. And the life that he gives is the light of man. So now we come back to chapter 8, verse 13. Pharisees said to Jesus, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. So the Pharisees think that the witness of Jesus was not supported by a second person, so that it won't be trustworthy. And Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. There are several fundamental questions people ask again and again. Where did I come from? Who am? What am? Where I'm going? And that's the fundamental questions people may ask again and again in the whole life. And here Jesus said, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. However, Jews believe that they knew where Jesus came from. So in John chapter 7, verse 25, the Jews said to Jesus, but we know where this man come from. And when Christ appears, no one will know where he comes from. And Jesus proclaimed, you know me and you know where I come from. But I have not come of my own accord. He who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, for I come from him, and he sent me. So that's in John chapter 7. And now in John chapter 8, Jesus made his statement very clear. Because he knows where he came from, where he was going. He came from the Father and he was returning to the Father. And that's why his testimony is true. And then Jesus challenged the Pharisees to think about whether their judgment is true or not. He said, you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, for it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. So not only the Pharisees, but also the disciples of Jesus judged according to the flesh, concerning Jesus himself, his word, his ministry, according to the human standards. And Paul said in Corinthians, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regard Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. So chapter 8, verse 17, Jesus said, in your law, it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. Surprisingly, Jesus used the phrase, in your law. Why? He said, in your law, it is written. This may indicate that he means that if you insist to judge me according to the mere letter of the law, and if you insist to judge my testimony by the mere letter of the law, and I will let you know that the Father who sent me bears witness about me. The Pharisees said to him, "Where is your Father?" And Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you know my Father also." So the very same argument is used here. So Jesus does bear witness about himself because his testimony is the testimony of the Father. Because he is the Word of God. Because he is a self-expression of God. Because the Father bears witness in him. Because he says exactly as the Father told him. In John chapter 12, we also read, "If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my word has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." So in verse 21-22, Jesus said to the Pharisees again, "I'm going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he come himself, since he says, 'Where I'm going, you cannot come'?" He said to them, "You are from below, I'm from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I'm he, you will die in your sins." Jesus announced to the Jews that there will be inevitable consequences if they persist in their unbelief. The first consequence is the withdrawal of Jesus from them. In John chapter 7, Jesus also mentioned this point to the Pharisees. He said, "I will be with you a little longer, and then I'm going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come." Their response was very similar to what was written in chapter 8, chapter 7 is quite similar. In chapter 7, they thought Jesus would go to the Greek and teach Greeks. And in chapter 8, they thought Jesus is going to kill himself. So the second consequence is that they will die in their sins. They shall perish in their own sins. Jesus' answer is very